Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
When the magazine is coming out.
Talk Radio, and you've got me for 2 days in a row now. Good to have everyone back. At least I hope everyone is back. We've got a very different show for you today. Not like Walking Dead. This is a lot better. This is life in and of itself. We're doing a few little technical things here now, so that's why I'm going to talk it through here. But I will give you the intro. I am here with a very exciting and dynamic artist. Her name is Christina Rebecca Romachkin, and we are here for only the third time ever doing a live show here on Blog Talk, and we are trying to supplement that right now by giving you some live video. So Rebecca is in the process of doing that now.
Yes.
And it's a bit cumbersome, but we're trying. We're using all sorts of pillows and things to keep the camera up, but it's working. It's very close to working. So I'm gonna, while Rebecca is doing that, I'm just gonna give a little bit of an intro here, just a very general description of the career, and then we're gonna get specific. So Christina Rebecca Romachkin, she's an artist, a self-taught painter, and she's lived and worked in the Netherlands since 2009. And she's had all sorts of great experience here in the United States and Europe with painting for the last 20 years. And we'll talk about all the influences on her and what drives her painting. And well, let me introduce her now because she is live with us. And hi, Rebecca.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Thank you so much, Anthony, for inviting me today. And I'm very excited to be here.
And she's all nervous. And everybody out there. But that's cool because everybody out there knows I'm the calmest freelance guy around here. So the last person she has to be nervous is with me. And I guess from my perspective as a broadcaster, I try my best to I've had a few artists that I've talked to in person. This is the first time I've interviewed an artist. And the internet recommends such goofy, crazy questions to ask of artists. So I sort of created my own, but I think Christina's experience, I keep mixing up her name.
It's Christina Rebecca.
And I apologize for
That's
that.
That's fine. Some people call me Christina. Some people call me Rebecca. I'm just okay with both of them are my names.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad. We will certainly we'll work with that. And why don't you just tell us maybe if you want to give a brief overview of how you got started with art, well, maybe a little bit about where you've lived, what you've done, and how it came to be that you got started with the art that you do.
Well, I've lived in different countries. I was born in Moscow. My family is from Moldova, from Transylvania. And when I was young, they sent me to Israel. So I lived in Israel in early 90s for 4 years. And my family immigrated to US in 1993, and I was reunited with them in 1995. And I've lived in US ever since, and I've moved to the Netherlands in 2009.
Okay.
And I've lived in Holland and mostly worked in Holland as a painter.
Now what did you do before that?
Well,
if you can tell us.
Yeah, that's fine. So, you know, I finished my high school here in California. And I went to college and I went to graduate school in the Monterey Institute of International Studies in Monterey, California. And I did my bachelor in international negotiation, conflict resolution, based on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and and counterterrorism. Anyway, in international policy, my background is international policy.
Okay.
My master's is in international policy.
Okay, that's very interesting in itself. And of course, unlike maybe other people, you have put it to practice by being in so many places.
Yes, I don't know. I have to say it's almost like I am in some way a product of globalization, but I meet a lot of people that are very global. And maybe by coincidence it happened, my family left and I moved around when I was younger. And as an adult, I left first time US in 2004. I went back to the Middle East and I did some volunteer work there. But I continuously painted. I started to paint when I was 19. I'm 37 today. and it was just my passion. It was my way to express my feelings. And I had so much pain and different kind of feelings that I couldn't express by any other. Like if I would, I like to write, so I write also, but and dance and all these other things. But I had to feel, it was just an urge. So I started to do it. And I started in charcoal and I worked with paper and I just made a lot of drawings. And then I started to make paintings and I continued to just explore different materials.
Right. So, okay. So you explore different types of things, right? A lot of people do resort to writing.
Yeah.
I guess many people don't, I guess they would be a little afraid. They wouldn't know how to express themselves.
Yeah, I the only way I can say is I guess in the last few years even more that in Holland I was able to completely let go of myself. You know, we all have these layers that we put around us since we are children, we become adults, and I was able to just break through all of them because to me when I'm painting I'm completely in the moment, and so it's almost like I'm connecting with, you know, God, the universe, myself, and basically I dissolve. I lose track of time. I'm completely, and I just take anything I have. I use different kinds of paint, and I always want to put. I break all the rules in painting, basically, because I have no rules.
I was showing. He's kind of a close friend of mine. I was showing him the video in which you were kind of. You were painting in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Is that kind of more like you feel like you're showing people how it's done? It's more like you're building the connection.
Well, I mostly in Holland, I have the studio in my house where I've lived for the last few years, and I'm always painting by myself. But when I'm painting in public, if I'm invited to paint during some event, I don't know, I'm not sure enough. I'm doing the same thing I do in my studio. Yeah. And actually the reason that I wear masks, and this is one of my masks that I painted, is because I want to, I'm very focused, and so the energy of people, but also I like to feel things around me, and so, like, I like music, I like, you know, I'm a part of my environment, and so I reflect things that I feel, and I feel a lot. I'm all about feeling, actually.
Right.
Everything comes from my emotion and the way that I absorb information and put it out.
Was there something, maybe that critical moment, something distinct in your life that you said, you know, this is something that I have to sort of create a medium to an event, just a life-changing event that got you into this particularly?
Well, funny, I've had a few.
Okay.
I mean, I've lived in Israel. I've experienced, you know, terrorist attacks there. When I was in Moscow, I lived in the Soviet Union. I grew up actually mostly by myself. My family was there, but I was always, because of different circumstances, there were a few, I don't know, a few events that triggered. But when I was 19, my sister became ill, and she's doing okay, you know. But so that was just some things that were happening that really, I felt like I was screaming. I don't know. I can't explain why I started, but it just came as a flow and it never stopped.
Yeah.
And there were a few, and each time, actually, when I get emotional, I always have to do something because I can't express my emotions. I don't know. Like, I can scream and cry. I'm very emotional, but I need to put it out to release this from my body.
Something more permanent.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And I think a lot of people feel that way. They're just, lashing out and, you know, temporarily screaming is not enough. It's almost like you have to leave an effect on people, just demonstrate to people how, what's going on in your head in a more concrete way. And I think a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess it also has to do with the way that I see reality. I mean, we live in four dimensions, and I don't want to get too philosophical right now, but it's the way that that I feel this reality, and then I feel that I can express what I am and what I'm feeling with the medium that's around me, because we live in the physical world, and so that's what I'm doing, and I'm creating basically in the physical world, because I'm a part of the physical world. I'm a physical being here, so everything else that stays in the realm of thought, it still exists, but you, once you create it, it's there. I don't know, it's like God. What is God? God's, you know, the universe creates, whatever. We are a part of this thing, and we are proof that there is life because we are alive.
Right. Okay, so, that's probably the best way to put it. So just to check in with everyone, we are live on two Facebook accounts. If anyone's listening on Blog Talk, I believe if I have done it properly, you can go to my Facebook, because I am sharing Christina's live feed from her Facebook. So yes, you can go to,
Hello, everyone.
Hi everyone. Now I'm on 7 second delay for some reason, but if you put the sound on, you can either hear us on Blog Talk or on Facebook. This is a technological marvel. So what I like to do sometimes when I have someone who has interesting things going on, I show them pictures or a video of the person. I try to get sort of a third party unfiltered reaction. So yeah, I showed one of my close friends at work a video of one of the videos of you painting and a couple of your photos. And he said, well, it's certainly very striking. And then his second reaction was, wow, she blends in very nicely with the artwork. And I'm sort of tempted to say that about, it looks like she's covered with paint, but it is not. It really has a distinction to it.
Well, it's, you know, it's basically controlled chaos. Everything about me is controlled chaos. I exist outside of time and space. I think maybe everybody does also, but so I like color, and I like texture, and I like certain things. So actually the first time I painted the t-shirt, I'm wearing one of my t-shirts that I painted.
Okay.
So it's just a painting on the shirt. It's really like I'm wearing a painting on canvas. It's paint. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my jeans also.
Okay.
I'm wearing these jeans.
Yes.
But so I like to see certain things, and I couldn't buy them. So I was like, well, I'll make my own, because I have these ideas, and yeah. So I painted my first t-shirt. Actually, it was in Seattle, my father's place.
Oh, wow.
In Washington State. It was in 2007, I think. I just painted the t-shirt, and I wear it for myself.
Right.
It's part of my wardrobe. And most of my clothes end up being painted.
Because I read also, I think in one of your descriptions, you paint a lot of physical things other than canvases.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did, while in Holland, I did the project. Well, first of all, I won the best artist at the with the Global Art Agency in Amsterdam, Amsterdam Showcase, end of 2012, which was the time that I came out as an artist. Because before I always, in fact, I think I was running away from myself, maybe, because I guess I was born this way, but I didn't want to be, I wanted to have things controlled anyway, whatever. So I came out as an artist. I just came out when I won this award, and I said, okay, well, I can just learn to be myself. I don't have to try to please anybody. I don't have to be doing things that I think are proper things to do,
right,
and just really be myself.
Exactly.
And over time, I've was able, like I said, by just painting and doing whatever I did to really just learn to be myself and accept myself.
Right.
And so I did, after I won the best artist, I think it was before or after, I don't remember, but I did a project where I painted the smart in the city where I live. Somebody asked me to paint the smart, the car.
The smart car,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, the smart car. So it was for 2 days. I painted the live during the fair, art fair in Hilversum, where I lived.
Right.
And And it was actually a big success. And that was, I think it was actually the first time that I painted live with, in front of a lot of people. And there was a local media also that was filming me. And I put my glasses on and I ran with all my art supplies and sprays. And, you know, this was also the first time that I started to use stencils, because for this project, I had no time to prepare. And I was, how can I paint? I take my work serious. I mean, I'm serious about what I do because I put my whole being. I am
right.
I am the living whatever it is.
And you can sense
so
that.
It's not separated from who I am. So so my paintings, anything I touch, painting, whatever, it has that energy because it's me. But so anyway, so for this project the night before, I was like, well, how can I decent, you know, how can I make a decent car? Like, you know, I'm painting it. I have to be proud of what I do, and I can't just leave an unfinished car. So I was thinking about the different techniques I could use for this project, because it was only 2 days. Altogether, it was 10 hours. It was also raining the next day. So, and then I said, well, I'm gonna maybe use some stencils. So I went on YouTube and I saw how to make stencils. I then picked some images of actually a model that I like. I use her face a lot, Natalia Vodyanova.
Okay.
She's a Russian model, but so I use a lot from her. I like her, but anyway. So I cut some stencils. Half of the night I was cutting the stencils. The next day I brought all my sprays and liquid paint, house paint, acrylic, anything, markers. So that's what I do. I come with all my things.
Right.
I when I have all of it, I feel completely secure, and I just, you know, I create in the moment. I really didn't have a particular idea, but in the end, the car was a big success. They loved it, and so.
That's great, though. I mean, you know, you don't. I guess a lot of people just fall into that trap. I mean, they might try a few little things with strings and all, but you're like, let's hit the real
boom.
Hit the real
yeah,
one.
It's just like, bro, it's clear. It just comes out, and I guess, it, like I said, maybe the way I think, the way the way I interact with reality, or the way I interpret my environment and with my feelings, I'm able to put things. And I don't know if it's a gift, but I just do it. I haven't learned it, but I can do it. And I just put form, I put paint, and I see what something, I might look over there and something just inspires me. So I'm going to put that in my work.
And that's a good thing.
But I have also painted mannequins, and I have a mannequin, a big one, and vase, and oh. I paint anything. I've painted people for a project also.
Oh.
I mean, the world is really my canvas. I mean, somebody said that before, but whatever. In my case, it really is. I can paint anything. I paint this microphone.
Next project, subway cars. No. That's already been tried. People get in trouble. No subway cars. We're going to take a 5-second break. And why? Because I did not follow my own advice. They always say, make sure you turn off the fan before the interview. So I'm going to do that now. Everybody stand by.
I'm going to take a sip of this coffee.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get a coffee maker again one day. I destroyed my last one. I could have given Christine a better coffee.
No, actually, I like Nescafe.
Oh, okay. Well, you got better. You got Folgers now.
I like Folgers. Okay,
so I admit I was sort of, I told Christina before I went to Wikipedia to look up some terms, and the first, I guess you initiated your career with surrealism.
Yeah, so basically, I guess when I was 19, the most natural way for me to paint, I mean, I'm compared to Picasso or Kandinsky, in college, I took introduction to drawing, among other classes that I was taking, physics and whatever.
Right.
And the teacher, that's when the teacher, the first time that somebody said to me that, oh, you have something, you should look up who is Kandinsky. I didn't know who is Vasily Kandinsky, because I never, but the way that I started to paint, I guess you can say it was surrealism and cubism, comes natural to me just to paint and draw like this. And then the last few years, pure expressionism, which is I just take paint and I don't even put form. It's just really chaos. It starts with chaos. I splash some paint, then I take the painting, I stand it up, I let it drip. I don't know. I just do all this crazy stuff.
Okay.
And that's pure expressionism. There's no preconceived nothing.
And I think, yeah, that's why people have a little trouble with. I think surrealism, people have seen examples of it. Mm-hmm. I think is Scream an example of surrealism? Or is that, yeah, so that would be the classic art example. Cubism, we've seen many different types of things, but I guess expressionism, people can't quite nail down because by definition,
expressionism is, what is expressionism? Maybe there is a term, I don't know, but I mean, to me, expressionism is basically expressing, and like I said, to get to where I am today, it took me time to be able to express without holding myself back. And so, and as a result, I was able to create these paintings. And sometimes I have a painting that I work for a few months. I have one painting that still I'm working on. It's 5 years I'm working on it. It's a huge piece. So expressionism is really just expressing your feelings without without any boundaries, I guess. Maybe it comes, one of my last paintings, I had an exhibition in last November. I will talk about it in a little bit. But,
sure.
One painting was the bull, but I started with just chaos painting. There was so much paint everywhere. And then I looked at it and I was like, my God, it's chaos. And my gallerist also said, look, it's chaos. Like, what is happening here? Your whole house, everything is pure chaos. So then it was actually, to me, it's harder to come back from chaos to order, because I continued to work on the painting. It was really struggling, and then I had to connect the things and make the bull in motion. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge painting that is the bull in motion. But to bring back the bull and with the color and texture and everything, it was difficult. But you know, I sold the painting. It was a very strong piece in the end. My gallerist was happy with it. And so with form, for instance, you know, you put an outline, you put cubism, or even surrealism includes, you know, Dali, always form, and then you put paint. But with the pure expressionism, maybe like Jackson Pollock, there is no, it's just completely uncontrolled. You just really put yourself, I don't know.
Right. You're attempting to see, well, it's, I would say maybe it's a little trial and error. Like you may have to go through a few things and then something just hits that everyone can relate to.
Yeah, exactly. It is a process. It's really, I think I'm lucky that I get to do, you know, what I do, because it's a process. By painting, I'm something inside of me is also changing, and it's very creative. It's a creative process because my studio is full of different supplies. I have boat lock, I have floor lock, I have liquid paint, I have water-based, oil-based, all these different things. And then in a moment I'm like, I'm gonna just take this and this and this. So it's really all about the creative, so it's a creative process.
Right.
And that's why, actually I think everybody's an artist. Anybody can, it's just not having that fear, because we have these like layers that we have around us as we grow older, from childhood to adulthood, we build these layers. And once you are able to break maybe these layers as a musician, as a any form of creative form, as a dancer, then you just create, like, let's say Amy Winehouse also. I mean, I love her, but you know, it's this raw creation that is, that's pure. That is when you really connect to God, the universe, or yourself, you are the universe. So it's when you really connect to the.
And sometimes it can be even, I suppose, in the most mundane things. Like, we sometimes congratulate ourselves at work for how creative we are, like,
absolutely
outside of work.
Yeah, I just met with somebody. I was talking to Harold Ford, and we talked about creativity. And he said to me, you know, that you can be creative in different ways. I mean, even, you know, owning a business. And because I was talking about, you know, I'm going to build my brand and, you know, all these things. And sometimes, you know, all artists say, I don't like the business part of, but actually you can be creative in anything. It's your approach, it's the way you see life. And everything is creative.
You just have to nurture it, as you have. Yeah. You fortunately were able to just say at some point, I know I can do these things, so let me get out there and try to talk to people, nurture this, create more.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, the reason I'm not in politics is because right. I chose this path, and I had no choice. I was like thrown into it in a way. So, you know, I started working my first gallery in Amsterdam, and Tech started to make all these paintings and do all these projects. And I'm lucky that I get to do this. And actually, I'd like to say hello to my friend Sarah Williams.
Sarah,
I think she's,
hello.
Sarah. Sarah Williams. I think she's listening in London. So a few years ago, Sarah, I know her from some years before with my background in conflict resolution. And we met some years before, and then we were in contact, and she invited me to do this project, art project at the summer fair in London, where in a school where her son is going to Kingswood, Kingswood Primary School.
Yes.
So
tell us about that too.
So she invited me. Everything was completely, you know, we got the supplies from the parents. It was nothing was pre-arranged. So we just everything. We got the canvas, and so basically, yes, I came and I flew into London, and you know, I went. She gave me some money. I went to buy the art supplies in the store, and I came back and I rolled up this huge canvas. And the next day, they had like hundreds of little kids from the primary school, Kingswood Primary School. And so I prepared the canvas before, I put the two faces of children. And the next day we had this art fair, and all these different kids there were, I think, from four school Kingswood community has a few primary schools.
Okay.
And from different ages, and they all came in, and I basically interacted with each one of them, all different backgrounds, you know, different skin color, different social backgrounds, just children, to meet everybody. And so this is really the fun, you know. This is why I do what I do, is because anyways, all these children came in, and I was, you know, helping them to put something inside this huge heart. And so they all put a little thing, and we use different kind of paint, and you know, and I helped them, I explained to them, and with each one I gave attention to each one, and they were so happy. In the end, I worked for like a month after to finish the painting, and I worked around all the little things that they put, because I didn't want to cover it, of course. Yeah. So the whole painting is basically this big heart, and it's called, you know, Kingswood, Children of Kingswood.
Yeah.
And you have these faces of children, and it's a big piece that after, when I finished it, I presented it to the headmaster of the school. And so, you know, I was happy to do this kind of projects, and also.
And you've inspired people, little people.
Yeah, no, you know, this is it. Like when I was in Israel, I lived in Israel by myself for 4 years. It's kind of a long story, but so I ended up being alone as a child in Israel. My family couldn't come, and I was in a boarding school in Kfar Chabad in Medrivka for 2 years, and then 2 years I was in foster care. And so I have some, you know, I have my own trauma and some different, yeah. But when I was, you know, I remember these years being alone, all I wanted was for just for somebody to care for me and to, you know, really to just love me. Because as a child, all you want is love and attention and care.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter, anything around is not important. It's just to have that positive, something positive from somebody who you feel that cares for you.
Right.
And so for me, it's very important to, and as an adult, I'm continuously independent. I'm always doing what I do, but it's important for me to work with children also, you know, with children in orphanages, or because I feel like, you know, if I talk to one child, or an adult, it doesn't matter, but if you talk to one person, that's enough for me, because I can. So it's not about, this is why I don't do politics, it's not, I don't want to do top down, I'm basically doing bottom up, which is what I'm walking the earth, and I'm interacting with each person. And
yeah, well, one-on-one is pretty much, politics is one on many, even charity to a point, as good as it is one on many, but one on one is so much more fulfilling in anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I've also done charity in Holland. I'm invited to a different charity with the Cons for Kent. I did it for cancer, and I gave a painting. I prefer to really work one on one.
Right.
And so, in the future, when I do more projects, I have some projects coming up also, but I would like to really get involved and go and interact and see, and you know, it's not, I don't like the bureaucracy of things.
Yeah. You have joined my club in that aspect. Even though I work for a government agency, I can recognize the unseemly aspects of it, let's say. Now you promised that we're at about the halfway point, so pretty soon we will certainly, I think what we will do is, contrary to what I had before, we will bring the paintings over here.
Yes, I would like to mention also one thing that while I arrived in New York, I've been here for almost 3 months now, I was lucky enough to meet some really cool people, and one of them is Joseph Fryer. He's the editor-in-chief of Living Style magazine. Great. It's an Italian luxury magazine in New York, and for this issue I'm the featured artist for the new issue that's coming up.
Excellent.
And it will be online this week, and the paper issue will come out March 30th. So I would like to say thank you, Joseph, and thank you the Living Style team for featuring me for giving me the feature in your magazine.
Well, that's excellent. I'm very happy for you, definitely. And hopefully more of these things are gonna come your way. I mean, they certainly have already, but.
Yes, and we're not finished yet, so we can do the paintings, and I'll give shout out to my friends in Holland and say more.
Yeah. So now, you promised we were gonna talk in three languages.
Oh, yes.
You said one of each language, right?
Yeah. So, I speak in Hebrew. I was in Israel now, and I did the project with a group of Honya Magid. He was a friend, and actually he passed away this summer, but he was a filmmaker in Tel Aviv, and he influenced me a lot also. And as I give you shalom, kulam b'Yisrael. Shalom.
Very nice.
What should I say in Russian?
Yeah, let's have a little Russian. That would be real good.
Okay, well, здравствуйте всем. Сегодня я говорю на радио, и меня зовут Кристина Ребека. И что еще сказать? So,
okay.
I don't know what to say.
My coworker,
really random, like, speak.
My coworker Roman will probably understand that. He speaks Polish and Russian.
Goedenavond, in Holland. Goedenavond, and it is all hell lekker.
Okay. Now, in the interest of multilingual pursuit, I will speak in Spanish. Me gusta Cristina mucho porque tiene muchos colores y muy bonita.
Gracias, gracias.
Okay. She knows Spanish too. I knew that. Oh, we just got 40 more listeners. Thanks. No.
Arigato. Wait, I can speak a few more words in different languages.
Oh,
in Arabic.
Okay. Interesting.
But it will come, okay, if you're a bit shy.
You're a potpourri of many cultures. That's good.
Yeah.
And, okay, so this is what we will do. We're a little past the halfway point. Shall we bring over the pieces?
Yes, let's.
Okay. Why don't?
Should I go? I will go.
Yep, I'll let you go. Just I will keep the fire burning here. Christina has brought over four pieces, and we're going to look at each one of them. They are very dynamic. Couple of them may induce some feelings or some. Okay, this is.
Yes, should I put my mic?
Actually, let's see. You could probably work. Kind of pull this a little closer, so you can stay behind.
Yeah.
And you are visible.
Okay.
So. All right. So this is.
Yes.
Okay, so this is your sort of piece de resistance.
Yeah, so basically, yeah. You know, since I basically paint anywhere I go, and since I arrived in New York, I'm renting a place in Brooklyn, and inspired by everything that has been, I haven't been in US for a few years, and anyway, being in New York, you know, taking the subway and everything that's happening politically,
right.
I was inspired to make this painting that I call Introducing Donald Trump.
Okay. Now, I know everybody out there is going to react in different ways,
yeah.
But how about instead, let's just appreciate it for what it is, an expression.
Yeah, so basically what I wanted to say, this is not a political painting. I didn't want to make a stand end, and it's not a point of argument or whether you're a liberal or conservative. Basically, nobody can argue with the fact that he has arrived. He's here, and this is what it is. It's just introducing Donald Trump. And so in this painting, you see Trump kind of shouting out America first, because he's always talking passionately. He's inside the American flag because he's in the US, and he's blowing off some of the stars of the flag, and so it's just about Trump arriving where he's got
coming on the scene very
exactly,
rapidly,
which I feel very much. I mean, I feel it when I'm walking the streets of New York, when I'm taking the subway, and I hear people talking, and so I had to do it. And maybe if I came here when Obama, I'm still going to paint Obama too. But you know, this is now. So,
yeah, and who knows if the universe were different? Maybe somebody does a Hillary painting.
I will also do Hillary because I'm not going to go political, but you know, I would probably, whatever.
My dream is to do a Ron Paul painting. I would love to do a painting with Dr. Paul in his sort of libertarian aspect.
Yeah, so I want to do kind of a series inspired, you know, by these things, because where I lived, I did, like I told you, more emotional kind of, and now I'm more back in the subject, and so I would like to put it back into my work. So I'd like to take a studio in the next few months in New York, okay, and just continue to do different kind of paintings and to see what will come out by, you know.
Excellent. And I even love your signature at the bottom. I mean, everything about it is so ornate, and it's laminated very professionally.
Yeah,
quite fancily.
So I use mixed media, but here I don't have all the art supplies I have in Holland. So I just, you know, bought whatever I could, and my makeshift studio is on my table with my roommate where I'm renting. So I just put plastic and I paint, and I can't really make a splash, and I can't, you know, destroy her apartment. But so in this case, I put a varnish. I always put a varnish depending on the, so there's a caramel color varnish on this.
Okay.
And sometimes in Holland, I use epoxy resin, which is liquid glass. It's two ingredients, but anyway, so.
Okay,
yeah.
And this is a silly question, oil paint or what type of paint?
Yeah, so this is acrylic and also liquid oil-based paint,
okay,
and also 3D puffy paint.
Yes.
You see, it's
you can, it has a, I won't touch it too much, but it does have a texture, and it gives a visual texture too.
Yeah, and if you see this is the, this is a puffy paint. This is
okay,
a 3D paint.
Oh, okay.
So it's coming
okay
out. It's not flat. But this painting even doesn't have as much texture as my normal paintings are, really with tons of paint and texture. This one has, but
excellent. Okay.
So that's one.
All right, that's one. Let's see the next of the four. We have different shapes here as well for all the canvases.
Yeah, so normally I work big. I prefer to work on large canvases. But, you know, of course, because I'm traveling and I don't have a studio yet here. So I just, I have smaller pieces too.
Okay.
Well, there's a story with this one.
Yes.
So
I really do like this. It has a certain... I don't want to say retro, but I'll say it. It has a little bit of a retro look to it, but certainly bright and colorful as the others.
Yeah, so actually this painting, there's a story. This one is called The Rebbe Lubavitch.
Okay.
And I had a dream 2 years ago of the rabbi. So the Rebbe Lubavitch, he's a figure in Jewish culture, and he passed away, and he's an, you know, influential rabbi. But I had a dream about him, and I made a few versions of this painting, and I never finished it. And now when I was in Tel Aviv last few months in the summer, I made another version. and this time I finished it. It also has a varnish. And so this is the Rebbe Lubavitch, and this is the rabbi, and you have in the background Jerusalem, you have the wall.
Okay. Yes.
And this painting brought me to New York, because they had the convention of the Shkafim, the people from the community.
Right.
There are rabbis all over the world that do work, and then they have a convention here in Brooklyn once a year.
Okay.
And so I went back to Holland, and over the weekend I just I was staying with my friends with Rabbi Heinz,
yeah,
in Utrecht, and he was preparing to come for the conference at the end of November.
Right.
And, you know, this is like I brought the rabbi home because his house was in Brooklyn. And I end up staying at the 770, not far from the 770 synagogue. And I just really arrived there. But this painting came on a journey with me. Right. So I painted it in Tel Aviv. I took it. There is a synagogue in Mitzpe Ramon, which is in the Negev Desert. It's a city in the Negev Desert.
I learned my geography then.
Yeah, so I took him there because I wanted to show to people there. And then they said I have to go to Kfar Chabad, to Beit Rivka. In the end, I really just brought him home. Okay. So now I'm in New York with this painting.
Rabbi, your journey.
Journey. And I took this painting to the oil, to his grave site. And it's just really bizarre. It's very surrealistic. And everything that happens to me is a bit. But this is the reason why I end up here, is because of this painting, because it was the convention, and then I talked to them. They said, well, bring it over to New York, and bought the ticket, and I came to New York.
Okay.
So this is the Rabbi Lubavitch.
Okay. Rabbi, we welcome you as well.
Yes.
All right. And then we're going to move on to... Oh, here. Yeah, let me...
No, that's fine.
Let me help you with that. I know it's a bit awkward here. Two more.
So we have two more. Yeah. And this is also kind of a small piece. Okay. And...
It's pretty much.
Yeah, so this one has a prayer, a Jewish prayer in the back,
right?
As in the background, and then you have the face. You have a lot of feminine and
we have a lot of faces. We have a lot of good reaction now to Queen. I saw a lot of loves and likes just pass through there.
Okay. Well, so this one is, I don't know, there's a lot of feminine in my work, and okay. Not only feminine, also masculine. In Holland, I paint bulls, and I like animals, I paint horses, but the bull has this crazy, intense masculine energy, yeah. And that's what I've been painting, these kind of paintings in my studio in Holland, but then I really go crazy, and I splash paint, and I throw my canvases. Really, that's what I do. And this one, you know, it's more feminine, and it's a bit mystical. There's a prayer in the back,
and
so you have this feminine mystical feeling with this painting. So this one is called the queen. Maybe Queen is there, I don't know. A queen.
Okay. Well, she'll have to be an unnamed queen, but certainly a bit mysterious.
Yes, and this one,
one's interesting.
It's a bit dark, you cannot see, but you can see from where you are. So this one is The Matrix.
The Matrix.
Supernatural.
Okay.
Supernatural. So, maybe I should.
Yeah, if you want to go a little closer.
I'm going to crawl over
there. Okay, I'll hold you.
Thank you.
Just crawling. This is kind of like one of my parties, people crawling all over the couch.
Well, no, I fell over the microphone.
No, it's good. Let's see the Matrix up close.
Yeah, so this is the Matrix.
Yep.
And the light here is a little funny. I won't move the phone, so it's a little bit dark. But basically, this is, I made another one. This is the Supernatural.
Right.
I made another one in Tel Aviv. But so this one is about the two sides. This is one side is a tiger, the other side is a human.
Right.
And in this case, also feminine, but... So this painting is about each person having that animal side and having the divine side.
Okay.
So each person has two sides, and you can see a lot of different religions and philosophies. They talk about this. This is the human condition is to find the balance between the animal and the supernatural, the soul, the side that is divine.
Hmm.
So it's almost like you can live in conflict between the two. So you have the animal side, which is normal food, you know, all the things we do, and then you have the soul. You have the God side.
The intellect, if you will.
Yeah, God-like. We are all God-like. Yeah,
okay.
But we also have a body, and we. So this is.
And then the question being, do you have someone who's able to really see them both in one shot? But you, the viewer of the painting can interpret it as such. You can see both in one canvas. See, I didn't get that. I saw a little bit of demonic in it. I don't want to just kind of pigeonhole it into one thing. I saw the demonic side of it. I saw what kind of.
Is this going? Should I turn it around?
I think we got it.
Is that how it is?
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got us. Yeah. No, you're closer. That's good. That's what you want.
No, but I mean, I shouldn't turn around the phone to the other side.
What for?
I get confused.
No, no, you're fine, actually. Okay. No, you don't want, no, it's seeing us perfectly. Now.
Okay.
Just that, yeah, that's why I figured if you want to hold the painting there.
Yeah.
That's, so, yeah, like I said, at first I saw a little more of the evil side to it, but now that you have
There's nothing evil, but with this light, it looks a little bit, well, the texture, there's different kinds of texture.
Yeah.
And it's, so it's separated in the middle.
Right.
But with the light, it looks a little bit dark. But,
right.
And then my signature on the bottom.
Okay. Well, we're gonna create another sort of presentation later where we're gonna present these literally in a better light, like the light over there. So that will be a benefit to everyone, and we'll put that up later. But you definitely by looking at these four, there is a breadth, variety here that a lot of people just don't have, and it's really fascinating.
I don't know. I'm just kind of, but I also studied philosophy, so I think what I do is a combination of intellectual and emotional.
Yeah.
So this is what maybe makes me different from others, is that you, and also the way that I use different techniques which I learned by myself. So it's and then I put the intellectual part. So my paintings have a story, like the car I painted also, there is a story. So I started to paint like this all the way around, and I'm telling a story of, well, yeah, it was a girl, but there's faces, and it's a story going on a journey of a person going on a journey. So every painting has something, it has a meaning, and
okay.
Maybe everyone's work, of course, everyone's work has a meaning, but I can only talk about myself.
Well, that's it. And everybody's story as it translates to their art is certainly interesting just hearing about it. Do you have this was one of the questions I had.
Yeah.
Do you have a dream project?
Yes, I do.
You do? Ah.
Thank you for asking.
Yes.
So basically, I love music. Music is my soul.
Okay.
And I want to do projects where I work with other musicians that sing on stage. Lady Gaga, I don't know, I like Lady Gaga very much. I need this strong energy. And I will paint live on stage. Mm-hmm. So I'm standing somewhere with canvas on the floor and I'm just doing my thing. And I want to take my painting and do projects with other artists, with musicians, and just do a lot of creative projects, because otherwise, I get bored. I need to paint. If I don't paint for a week, even I'm going crazy, I'll get drunk, it's not good. So I need to be constantly releasing this energy, because I'm like a sponge. I take everything, I'm taking, and then I must release it. If I don't, I get destructive. So I would like, my dream projects is to paint live.
Okay.
Lady Gaga, if she can hear me.
Yes.
Yeah, I would like to paint live, doing a concert, whatever, and just do all kinds of interesting projects. Do projects here in New York. Work with musicians. I wanted to have also my clothing line.
Okay.
Because I think I want to start printing also things, and have, now it's all painted, everything. It's all painted. Yeah, so then I can print also things, and have jeans and shoes. I've painted sneakers before, and
wow.
Masks. These are hand painted masks.
Oh, I promised I would try
one. Yeah, mask. Would you like to wear one of my masks?
Yes, I would.
Please do, okay? We can continue.
I'm dropping the mask. I'm sorry.
You want me to help me tie it in the back?
You might have to. Look at this. Oh, beautiful. Wow. It just makes you.
So we can continue in disguise.
Yeah, for the last few minutes, we can do in disguise. I like this.
So, what happens is I did
now
this project. I did this project in Israel with the group Smartut with Honya Magel, and also I'd like to give a shout out to Ronnie Herman, okay, a good friend in Israel, and he's was also a friend of Honi. And so I painted live during the Akko Film and Theater Festival in Akko in October, and I painted live. I started a huge painting live of Honi, a tribute to Honya Magel, who passed away in the summer.
Okay.
And he just released a movie, The End, and book, and he was an amazing artist, actually, and I miss him also a lot. A lot has happened this summer. It was a very intense summer.
Yeah.
My grandmother also passed away, but
very sorry.
Yeah, just all these things. But and so I bought a mask, and then I painted, and I was wearing this mask, and somehow when I was making the painting, if you see the video of me painting in Akko, I became almost the dress that I was wearing, everything. I was I end up painting Honi in the middle with wings, and I will finish that painting. It will be like
so. This is a personal painting, like depicting him.
Yes, it's okay. A tribute to Honi. Honi, right, as a friend, as an artist, right. Honya Magel, and it was a huge. I just bought this huge canvas, and I was performing. Well, I wasn't really performing; I was just doing my thing, painting. But there were actors there that work with his group Smartut is a performance group in Tel Aviv.
Okay.
And so we had three rooms, and one of the rooms I was in, and I rolled up the canvas, and the night before I just made a stencil, and I started with the stencil, and then I continued to make the painting. So I put the stencil, I can't show you now because I don't have,
okay,
but it's in my phone.
Yeah, well.
But, I put Honi in the middle. I took the image from one of his shows. He was performing in the Akko Festival for like 30 years.
Ah.
So I took a photo. I took the image from him sitting at the table as the Last Supper. Ah. Everything is just so interconnected. It's crazy. So he had this image where he's sitting at the table, like from the Last Supper with, right, his group, yeah.
Excellent.
And he's sitting like an angel with his head tipped over. So I took that image, and he's very young there. And I put him in the middle. And then for 3 days while I was painting in Akko, I continued. So I was like, yeah, I really didn't have an idea, but I guess I kind of knew it came from my subconsciousness. I don't know.
That's okay.
So I put the wings I made. I was like, oh, I'm going to make big wings. And then I put on sides, one image is him standing out of the window. There's also an image where he's naked in his apartment in Tel Aviv looking out the window.
Okay.
And it became a famous also image of Honi. So I put that in one corner. In the other corner, there is Honi with his camera, because he always walked around with an old-fashioned camera and filmed everything.
Oh.
So that was the painting in Israel.
Okay.
And so I will continue to finish it.
Excellent. So you've made it. You've made your mark in Europe, the Middle East, here. You've been in California too, so you got both coasts.
Oh yeah. So oh yeah. In 2005, California. I forgot you so much.
I know. Reading your history was like, oh my.
Well, most of the, so from 2009, most of the projects I did were in Europe. Before 2009, while I was doing, living my life and doing what I did with my degree, I also had exhibitions because people liked my paintings and they said, well, hang your paintings here. And so I've had an exhibition in California, in Monterey,
okay,
and also in Santa Cruz, I don't remember. I had also one in Placerville, and my mom lived there, now she's living in El Dorado Hills. Okay. I had one in Seattle, and in New York. So in 2005, I was in New York, and I did an internship with the United Nations in disarmament.
Okay.
And so I was for 5 months at the UN. And while I was there, I, you know, connected with people there, and then they arranged for me an exhibition. So we shipped my painting. So actually my first exhibition, my first solo exhibition in New York was in 2005 at the Secretariat in UN.
Oh, wow.
But then I was not trying to be an artist. I was actually being very modest. I was like, people recognize me in the elevator. I didn't want to be known as an artist because I was not an artist. Like, I just didn't want to be,
right,
you know, because I was doing something else was serious. So.
Right.
But so that was my first in New York. And yeah, and I've done exhibitions in California, like I said, Washington State, you know, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, and everything else was in Europe and France. I did live painting with at an opening of a gallery in Austria, in Graz,
yeah,
and with some graffiti artists also. And I've done projects in Alsace, Yeah, what else? In Belgium, and I was in Brussels. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Well, I mean,
but now I'm in New York.
That's it. See, this is where we end up.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of creativity. There's a lot of things happening in New York, and I think by destiny brought me here.
Right.
And because I was planning to be in the desert for the next few months. Yeah. Actually, my plan was to do the winter in Mid-Paramon in the desert. Oh. I got a studio ready, and then I just end up being here, and there's a lot of creativity, and so I want to do a lot of projects here in New York.
Excellent, excellent. And I hope that happens for, I don't think it'll have any trouble happening for you, because there's so many things you can be exposed to here, so many people you can get to know. And I just told Rebecca, if I can be of any, Rebecca, if I could be of any minor assistance in introducing her to the Westchester arts community, Yonkers,
thank you, Anthony.
I would be happy to participate.
Yeah, that, first I want to say also, Anthony, you know, we met during this Oscar event.
And yes.
We kind of connected right away, so yeah. I wanted to say thank you so much for having me. Really, this is,
honor. This is our first.
It was very spontaneous.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I'm so glad you came. So, I'm glad I got to see the paintings up close and live. We're going to just do a little something for YouTube in a few minutes. You'll see it afterward, but we're going to show off.
So next. Thank you, Anthony, and thank you for having me. And again,
I feel like we are.
Thank you.
We're at a masquerade dance and ready to.
Yes, thank you. And maybe we'll do more interesting.
Yes.
This is the first one. Yeah. Introduced to New York. Hello,
absolutely.
New York.
And we're live. We're doing this live, Facebook and
hello, New York City.
And on Blog Talk Radio. So this show, if anyone wants to call any of Rebecca's people, you're welcome to. We've only got a couple of minutes, but another thing, fulfill her dream of playing. Any of you bands out there in Westchester, if you want an artist to work with you on stage, maybe this is for the both of you, this is an opportunity.
Yes, I'd love to. I'd love to just do whatever I paint with other artists.
It might be like musician. It might be like an Iron Maiden cover band or something. But wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Painting to heavy metal.
Yeah, I like also.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I mean, I saw also the performance of Gaga with Metallica. It was very nice.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
If you could feel that energy, you know, there's so much energy. Music, I paint with music always. And while I paint, I dance around, and my canvases are usually on the floor, and then I throw paint, I pick up the canvases. It's so like, it's kind of, it's very active, basically.
Right. It's cathartic almost.
Yeah, so I'd love to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So please, keep me in mind and contact me.
Yes, contact her. I'm going to give all the links later on to your YouTube. I'll do something with all your various links.
Mm-hmm.
And your email.
I don't know if it's my phone number, my American number.
Yes, for all you safe people out there.
For all you safe people. Only cool people
I might consider giving you her phone number. So.
Yeah, only cool people.
Cool people, not you lunatics. You know who you are, but this was a lot of fun. See, it was relaxing.
Right? Yeah, I relaxed in the beginning. I was so nervous.
Yeah, but no, like I said, this is just a first step. Hopefully, we'll get you up here a little more in the future.
Yes, I'd love to. I'd love to come back again and talk more about what I'm doing.
Yes, and when some of this stuff goes on the trading block, the sale for sale, certainly you can contact.
There's Trump.
Donald. Yeah. I mean, come on, guys out there, you know, I think both sides can relate to this.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. It's not a political painting.
It's not a political, it's an emotion, it's a expressionist painting.
Yes,
look at it that way.
It is.
Yes.
It is. I'm just expressing what there is.
Right, exactly. So let's do it that way. And at this point, I think we're gonna call it a day. We've had a wonderful hour.
And yeah, thank you. Thank you, Anthony, again. Thank you for having me. And I'll talk to you soon again.
Hells yeah.
I can come. You can invite me anytime.
Oh, don't you love it up here?
I love it. Actually, it's a very nice atmosphere.
Yeah. So all of you other people who don't like to come up here sometime.
Yeah.
So let's take our going. I'm sorry. Got to learn to transition better. I apologize.
It's okay.
bring out. Facebook audience, goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Look for Christina Rebecca Romachka and all her art. And she is on YouTube as well.
Yes, I'm also updating my social media, Instagram. I'm a little bit slow with social media, but I have also a fan page on Facebook. And I'm basically updating all my social media. And I have Instagram and YouTube and Twitter. I have Twitter too. connect with me.
Connect with Christina. I highly recommend it. So, Blog Talk audience, farewell.
Thank you.